Say it again like you mean it. Say, I will not fail. Say it one more time. I will not fail. No. Now turn to your neighbor and tell him, do not fail and do not be discouraged. Yeah, one more time. Do not fail and do not be discouraged. This simple passage is a messianic passage talking about Jesus Christ. This passage in Isaiah 42 is talking about Jesus Christ, who he will be as the servant of Christ, as the servant of God. And one of the things the prophet Isaiah notes is that Jesus will not fail and Jesus will not be discouraged. Discouragement is a terrible attack on every child of God. Discouragement is not a joke. It's not something you play with. It's not something you toy with. I plead with you, friends, if there's anything, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit will help you open the eyes of your understanding to grasp this revelation. There is one thing about you as a child of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together. All things, good things, bad things, high things, low things, things we like, things we don't like, things we expect, things we don't expect. All things, they work together for good. For those who love God, and those who are called according to his purpose. So you are called according to God's purpose. There is a purpose for you and I to fulfill on earth. Every one of us. You are not here on earth just to waste time. No. There is a purpose for which God made you. Now, Satan knows one thing. Please hear me carefully. He will never be able to defeat you. The only person who doesn't know is you. Satan knows he will never be able to defeat you. So he makes you defeat yourself. He knows he will never be able to stop you from fulfilling purpose. He knows. So he makes you stop yourself. He knows he will never be able to stand the power God has put in you. He makes you doubt yourself. That is how he works. Now tell me, if God is for us, who can be against us? Is it in the word of God? No, I can't hear you. Is it in the Bible? Okay. So if God is for you, the word of God now says, who is it that can fight you, that can stand against you? Nobody. Now that who includes the devil too. So the devil cannot fight you. He cannot stand you. He cannot overcome you. 1 John 4, 4, little children, you are of God and you have overcome them. You have overcome them. You have overcome them. And then he says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So the greater one lives in you. How can the lesser defeat the greater? So the enemy knows that he will not be able to destroy you, nor defeat you, nor stop you. But he makes you stop yourself. You know you can stop yourself. You can self-destruct. Can I also tell you something? Note it in your spirit. Satan has no permission. He has no permission to prevent you from fulfilling destiny. He cannot. He cannot. I'm telling you, he cannot. But he will make sure you prevent yourself from fulfilling destiny. And the weapon he uses is called discouragement. Discouragement is the only weapon that self-destructs. Is the only weapon that can stop you from getting to where you must get to. Discouragement on the outside doesn't look too dangerous. In fact, sometimes holy Christians, tongue-talking, spirit-filled, Bible-carrying Bibles, Christians can even say, oh, I am so discouraged. And sometimes we feel it's a badge of honor. Oh, I'm so discouraged. You never hear people say, oh, I committed murder. Or I committed adultery. But they say, I am discouraged. Thinking that discouragement is, oh, so pray for me. Oga, it is more dangerous than anything else. Discouragement is the most dangerous. I happen to have been in Norway in 2004, and one afternoon, I had people who had come with me to my apartment, and we prayed. And after we finished praying, we were having a lot of conversation, but I felt very sleepy, which was very unusual. Because I just don't do that. But I felt very sleepy. It was around 1 p.m. And they wouldn't go. They were still chatting in my living room. So I just excused myself. And I said, excuse me, gentlemen, I have to go and rest a little bit. So I went and I laid down on the bed. Immediately, the Lord gave me a revelation. In that revelation, I had gone into the basement of an apartment building where we usually will park cars. But as I entered, I saw that the door to that basement had been locked, so I couldn't go out again. But to my surprise, I had entered into a place filled with wild animals. There were lions, there were tigers, there were very wild animals. And all of them were just freely roaming around the place. Now, naturally, I became afraid. I just knew that I was done. All these wild animals are here. I can't go back. The door is locked. I'm finished. But there was a man who was like the keeper of the zoo. I'll call it a zoo. And he was at the far end of the hall. And he called out my name and he said, Ralph, don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. Those ones you see there, they look dangerous, but they are not that dangerous. He said, the most dangerous is this little dog. And I have put him on a chain. I saw there was a little Chihuahua dog, very small dog. But the guy there had put that dog on a chain and tied the chain to one of the pillars. And he was standing there watching that little dog. While all these lions and tigers and wild animals were freely floating around the place. He said, those ones look dangerous, but they are not that dangerous. The most dangerous is this dog, this little one here. And then he said, but his name is called discouragement. Right after that, I woke up from the dream. And the Lord now began to give me a message. It just happened all of a sudden. He said, find a piece of paper, get a pen. I'm giving you a message for the church. He said, tell my church about this thing I'm going to tell you. He said, tell the body of Christ. That's why I decided to put it into a book. He said, tell the body of Christ. Tell my church. I'm giving you a message. Tell them to be watchful of discouragement. It is the most dangerous. Discouragement is the most dangerous thing. Don't play with it. And I'm going to take time in this series to teach you and show you how it happens, what it is, how it looks like, how to even smell it when you feel it. so you can run away from it. Don't hang around discouragement. It will destroy you. You have to understand, and you also have to learn how to overcome discouragement. Now, Jesus began to show me. He said, discouragement doesn't happen overnight. Nobody gets up and gets discouraged overnight. No. He said, it's a process. If you can take notes and put it on the screen, that'll be good. Great. He said, it's a process. Discouragement does not happen overnight. It first of all starts with disappointment. Now, when you get disappointed and you don't take care of it and you don't deal with it, then from disappointment, it degenerates into discouragement. And when you get discouraged and you don't handle it properly, then it leads to death. So it's a process. Disappointment, discouragement, and death. Discouragement doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. You first of all get disappointed. Now, when you get disappointed, and two things, you have to take off two things. If you don't take off two things, you'll become discouraged. When you get disappointed, number one, don't stay disappointed for too long. And number two, don't talk about your disappointment over and over and over. These two variables will determine whether you get discouraged or not. Disappointment is normal. In a moment, I'll show you. Everybody gets disappointed. Can I see here in this house, this great hall, anyone who says, I have never been disappointed in life since I was born till now? Can I see your hand? Good. It's a good church. Everybody speaks truth. Disappointment is normal. Everybody gets disappointed. But it's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you handle it. When you get disappointed, it is how you handle your disappointment that will determine whether you bounce back or you degenerate into discouragement. And when you get discouraged, if you don't know how to handle it and you stay discouraged for so long and you keep talking about your discouragement, then it worsens into death. Anything discouragement touches, it kills. Anything discouragement will touch and you allow it to touch for too long, it will kill it. From things to people to places, it will kill you. Discouragement is deadly, it's dangerous. Friends, I'm here on a mission from the Lord to tell you that it doesn't matter where you find yourself, it doesn't matter how you find yourself, there is a place, a purpose for you. The only way you get there, the only way you fulfill your purpose is to fight discouragement. And the way you fight it is you first of all deal with disappointment. It's normal to be disappointed. It's normal. Let me give you a few scenarios. Take a student who goes to school. No student enrolls in a program and says, from day one, me, I'm going to fail. Nobody. Nobody does that. At least you're going to pay fees. You don't want to waste your money. So everybody goes with a desire to succeed. But while in class, a professor will come and teach one very, very challenging concept. Maybe you didn't get it well. And instead of finding help and reaching out to your TAs or people who can help you to understand that concept and to practice it and get it and overcome it, this is what the normal student does. I can't understand calculus. It's so hard. Accounting is so difficult. is so difficult. So, because you missed or you couldn't get one particular concept, you stay there and you talk about it every time you see your friend. Who, you know, that professor is tough. You know, that course is difficult. You know, that thing. You keep talking about it. And instead of overcoming it, you don't overcome it. You keep talking about it. And you keep staying there. You keep staying there. With time, examination day will come. Then, because you are already scared before the exam, examination doesn't favor the fool. So, the exam comes and you don't do well. So you get disappointed. You were looking for an A and you got a D. So you are disappointed. Now, instead of going back and regrouping and taking the course again and overcoming, people can choose to stay there and become so disappointed. Talk about it. Oh, I failed this course. It's so hard. I failed this course. It's so hard. I failed this course. Until they talk themselves into fear. With time, when you mention the program, oh, you need to take statistics to get your psychology degree. Ooh, it's math. Ooh, I can't take it. So they run away from it. Very soon, he gets kicked out of the program. And his vision for going to the university dies. It started from being disappointed over one small thing. Because you kept talking about it, and you hung in there for too long, you became discouraged. The mark wasn't what you expected. And when you became discouraged, instead of bouncing back, you stayed there and you killed your dream. So it starts from disappointment to discouragement to death. Think of, let me use a simple example. A young man who falls in love. Just falls in love. Have this beautiful girl. He's just in love. With time, this girl says, I don't want you anymore. The young man gets disappointed. Instead of bouncing back and saying, Madam, thank you for not wanting me. Maybe God has someone better for me. Thank you. And cry a little bit and wipe your tears and move on. The guy will stay there, disappointed, send emails to everybody, Facebooking everybody, broken heart, drawing pictures. With time, your disappointment grows and becomes a discouragement. So you become so discouraged. Let me tell you, have you met people who say, me, fear women and play with snakes? Or people who say, me, I will never marry. I can't trust any woman. Have you heard things like that? Now, if you've not heard them, I don't know which planet on which you live. Because I hear them all the time. And vice versa. You hear women also say, this man, I gave him all my heart. And look at what he did. I'll never marry again. Me, no man. Any man I meet, you pay for the price. You become discouraged. One disappointment led to a discouragement. And once you become discouraged and you don't deal with it properly, you don't handle it well, your dream for a partner in life dies. I've seen people, I know people who are still single up to today over one bad relationship they encountered several years ago. And sometimes, you know, I don't have time to sit there and teach this thing. That's why the book must be printed. So I was just giving you a book like, I said, go home and read it. Sometimes you don't have time to teach this whole series. But if only they will know the danger of staying discouraged, they will bounce back. But it happens all the time. So a brother says he doesn't want you. Okay, cry a little bit. Say, thank you. God has a better man for me. Move on with life. In this series, I'll show you how to overcome all these things. I'll show you things to do to overcome them. Because they are dangerous. Let me give you an example. I want to show you it affects every arena of life.
me give an example. Do you know, as a Christian, I've seen so many Christians go through this all the time. You know that, oh, the Bible says I shouldn't kick this speaker box. So one day you got tempted and you kicked it. Now, after kicking it, what do you feel? You feel what? You feel guilty, you feel bad, right? Okay, so what do you do? When you feel guilty, you feel bad, what do? You're a Christian. You've been taught the word. So what do? You go to the cross. You ask Jesus, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I plead the blood. You plead the blood from morning to night. Okay. So after pleading the blood, what happens? Does Jesus forgive you? How do you know he forgave you? His word says so. Okay. But do you know what happens? People don't forgive themselves. And do you know why? They became disappointed in themselves. They knew the standard. They fell short of the standard. Even though Jesus forgave them, they never forgive themselves. They think about it every day. They talk to themselves about it. They Facebook about it. They read about it. Every time they go past that place, they remember it. Ken. And they cannot even forgive themselves. So this is what happens. Let me tell you how the enemy causes children of God to be defeated. Because they can't forgive themselves, even though heaven has already erased the record. Because when you ask him to forgive you, he's faithful and just to forgive. So he forgives. Okay. But you cannot forgive yourself because you are disappointed. And you hold on to it for so long. And you talk about it to yourself, to other people. Very soon, you become discouraged. And you know how you become discouraged? This Christian life is so hard. I can't even do this anymore. So you still come to church, but you live anyhow. Because you can't even forgive yourself, even when heaven has forgiven you. But it starts from being disappointed. After a while, if you keep talking about it and you stay so long, you become discouraged. And when you become discouraged, anything discouragement touches, it kills. So then your dream for a vibrant Christian life dies. And then all of a sudden, with time, you'll be coming to church, but your fire will die. And with time, you find yourself falling in love with the things of the world again and again. Very soon, we have to beg you to come to church. We have to beg you to serve. We have to, because the fire is gone. But if you trace it back, it was not because the enemy came beating you up. No. He just created an environment for you to self-destruct. But you didn't catch it early. Am I making sense to somebody? Does it happen to anyone here? Oh, no, nobody here. Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. Doesn't happen to anybody, huh? The other place. Oh, you okay? Let me give you an example. Another example. I want to show you from various areas of life so you know what I'm talking about. You came from Jamaica, Trinidad, Ghana, Nigeria, Togo, anywhere. Big degree. MBA. PhD. I'm going to Canada. Land of gold. Land of opportunities. So all of a sudden, you apply to everywhere, including McDonald's. They don't even care about your MBA. And then you go for the interview, they tell you, huh? What did you say? Huh? What did you say? Meanwhile, you were a big honcho back home. You had your garden boy. You had your driver. You had your cook. You had a full secretary. When you walked in, people shook. Now you are here. You send the resumes bounce back. Now, what happens to you after a few months? You get disappointed. You begin to say things like this. Ah, I wish I'd stayed back. I wish I'd stayed back. You're so disappointed because the system is not in your favor. The little job you get a small boy manager who would drill you like something. And that boy would have actually been like your houseboy back home. And while you are there, you're thinking about back home, about your position you had, about this, about this. Now, if you don't handle that disappointment well, with time, you get discouraged. And so, you cannot even dream of a brighter future. These things, I have seen people, particularly when I served in Toronto, I've seen so many scenarios like this, where after a while, they've given up the dream. So then you find a doctor driving a taxi. That's when you know discouragement has set in. And then you find an accountant, chartered accountant, CA, Ghana, CA, Nigeria, flipping burgers at McDonald's. Instead of sitting up and saying, okay, this is a new environment. I need to reorient myself. I need to retrain. I need to retool. I need to recalibrate myself. I need to see, if you don't know how to do some of those things and you stay in that environment, you will be so disappointed until you become so discouraged. Eventually, your dream for coming to Canada dies. So you see, you'll be walking here and your mind will be back home. Every day you keep dreaming. You know you can't go back home because there's nothing there. And you can't stay here and there's nothing here. So you are caught in the middle. And it can be very painful. I was teaching this same series just before I left Hamilton. Just before I left. That was the last series I taught before I left. And a young dentist had come from Nigeria. And when he came, he met a couple of his schoolmates. They went to dentistry school together. And they had, after trying several times and not succeeding, they had converted to become nurses. They were in nursing school. So automatically they told him, "Oga, put dentistry aside. Don't work in Canada. Let's all do nursing. I mean, nursing will give you good money, blah, blah." He said, "I know. But if I wanted to be a nurse, I would have trained to be a nurse. But I want to be a dentist. So I'm going to be a dentist." They told him everything. It don't work. So he came and I was teaching the same series. And when I got to how to overcome discouragement, I began to teach them, blah, blah, blah. The guy grabbed. He said something hit him. He began to write all the exams. There was another lady from Ivory Coast who had been here in Canada that I knew in the city for a long time, tried writing all these exams. She never made it once. So I connected them to see if maybe she could help him with a few information here and there. The lady first thing he said is, "I've been trying this exam for 15 years. Oh God, forget it. You can't make it." But he said, "No, my pastor said, if I can stay encouraged, I will be all God wants me to be." He said, "I will make it." He wrote the exam the first time. He got 82% and passed. There were about three or four exams. He went through every exam once, passed with flying colors. As I speak to you now, he has his own practice on the mountain in Hamilton, practicing dentistry. And he made a promise to the church those days. He said, "If God makes me a dentist, every member of this church who doesn't have a dental coverage, I'll treat you for free." Every time I see him, I remind him of that promise. Now he's a big man. He lives on the same neighborhood, the same street I used to live those days. He would visit me those days and would tell me, "Pastor, one of these days, I'll live on this street." Now he actually bought a house there. If you stay discouraged, you will kill every dream. me give you another example. A pastor goes to plant a church. That's what I know best. I've trained so many pastors, and I always tell them, don't get discouraged. It's the only thing that will destroy your ministry. So he goes the first day. He gives flyers everywhere. 10,000 flyers. He gives all of them out. He prays 3 hours, 4 hours. He fasts 21 days. He does all the things I tell him to do. He binds all the demons. Bang, 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 every, like he's done everything. So he goes to church. The first day, he's expecting to see 100 people. At least 100 people. So he goes there. And 10 people show up. Including his wife and his children. The normal thing most pastors do, instead of thanking God for the 10 who are there, he stands there and the man is angry with God and angry with himself. So disappointed. I was believing God for 100 people and only 10 showed up. Now, if he doesn't understand these things that I'm teaching you, he will stay there and whip the 10 people for coming. Eh? Why only 10? Why only 10? We are here to take the city. Take the city. This city has like 2 million people. Why only 10? Why? Why only 10? Bring somebody. Next week, bring somebody. You can't come to church. So he whips the 10 who are there. No. After the church service. See, I'm telling you the secrets. After the church service, the 10 people ask themselves, what crime did we commit? We only came to church to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be built up, to be fed. The man took his frustration on us. Somebody is getting delivered. Calgary for Jesus. Amen. So he takes his frustration on the 10 and whips the 10. In fact, the last time I was in Ghana, I preached for another pastor. I was shocked. The pastor made a statement like this. Hey, today many of you didn't bring people to church. Look, empty chairs all over the place. So, yeah, this I'm talking about February this year. So he said, well, next week, if you don't bring a friend, don't come to church. So, you guys let me preach. I'm sitting there, I'm saying, Lord, how do I navigate myself out of this? How do I still maintain the anointing? Because I'm laughing my head off. You know, meanwhile, I'm just about to go up and preach. But I'm choking with laughter. I'm saying to myself, oh, how I wish I had a book to give to this wonderful pastor to read. What is their crime? They came to church. If others didn't come, is it their fault? Bless those who are there and increase the grace upon their lives and stand there and preach like a man from another moon. Next week, they'll bring 10 more. And now, I didn't ask him whether the following week he did that or not. Because me, I left and I came. I said, the thing you've spoken with your mouth. Next week, some of these people here won't show up. The Holy Ghost just reminded me. Just while on this last visit, we happened to have a chat with the same pastor. You know what he said to me? Oh, a few of my members have left for this reason and that reason. I didn't say anything. But I quickly remembered what statement he made the other time. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. When you get disappointed, please, don't rehearse it over and over and over. Please help me tell your neighbor. Please tell them when you get disappointed, please tell it, please Don't rehearse it. Don't speak over and over. Once or twice is enough. Cut it and move on. And don't stay disappointed for too long. Don't stay disappointed. You see, don't stay disappointed for too long. You'll be destroyed. Let me give you another scenario. Somebody is sick. So, obviously, you are not happy because you are sick. Instead of believing God and holding on to the blood and holding on to the scriptures that promise you healing, you keep talking about, and I'm sick, and I'm sick. And why God? And why God? And the pastor didn't pray a lot. That's why I'm sick. Eh? Okay. And why this? And why this? And so you talk yourself. You talk yourself. You talk yourself. You talk yourself. You talk yourself until you become so discouraged. Very soon you keep saying, the sickness will kill me. And very soon it will kill you. Everywhere. A young married couple goes into marriage so excited because when they were courting, there were roses, there were chocolates, Valentine's Day, text messages promising heaven and earth. Now they've been married. All of a sudden, the roses are not flowing that they used to. The chocolates are not flowing. The young woman becomes disappointed. My husband is not even as nice as he used to be. Eh? Is this what marriage is all about? Eh? Ah, keeps talking about it. We'll call this person. Check, 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 check. My husband, he's changed. My wife has changed since I married her. These days, look, she's something, something. Something, something. I don't even know. It's changed. Like, it's changed. Only God has a license not to change. Everybody else must change. But you only change for the better or for the worse. People are like elevators. They either take you up or take you down. Watch it. This young married couple, you may not know the struggles they may be facing on the job, or just because you're young, adjusting. You know, the first 2 years, the adjustment period is tough, you know? You know? Your mother's soup is this way, your wife's soup is that way. You know, you two are caught in the middle. You know what I'm saying? You feel like calling mama, you can't call mama. Your hot mama is there. So she's saying, hey, listen, why are you calling mama? So you are caught between the rock and the hard place. Hey, confession is good for the soul. Hey, when I'm married, eh? Thankfully, my mother lived upstairs. I lived in the basement. So I'm coming from work and... Because she's upstairs, she's first to call me. Oh, yeah, there's food here, so I'll go in there. Meanwhile, Regina stayed downstairs cooking the whole day. I even forgot she's there. I stay up there for 2 hours, eat mom's food, talk and talk and talk and talk. By the time I get downstairs, I go and meet a stone face. And then food is ready. I can't eat. I just finished eating. Because my mom's soup is very light, my wife's soup is thick, she's an aquapim. So that's how they prepare their soup. So I'm used to my mom's soup is light soup. So I'm caught between the rock and the hard place. Then I had to grow up one day. I said, listen, before I lose my marriage, what must I do? So I take my wife's thick soup, I pour water in it, I warm it, then I drink it. That was the adjustment period. Now it's super. If you don't deal with your disappointment, very soon your disappointment will grow into discouragement.
So you are not getting the flowers you used to get. No longer chocolates. No longer I love you like you used to get. You are upset. The man has changed. The woman has changed. And you keep talking. Okay. Very soon, he's like, this marriage, let me just leave. My friend's marriage is even better. Look at how they're always smiling. You don't even know what they are doing in their quarters. They may even be having it worse than you do. They only smile when they see you. Make you feel that everything is kosher with them. Or, guy, it's not kosher. Is somebody being delivered? Okay. You know, the truth sets us free. Yeah? So, very soon, if you don't handle your disappointment well, oh, he sleeps too much. He even snores. I didn't even know he snores like this. Look at, hey, madam, for better, for worse, just enjoy the snoring machine. Just sleep. If you can't sleep, take sleeping pill. Listen, just enjoy it. Hey, I thought she was so pretty. Yes, every time you saw her, she had made up. Now you are seeing the real person without the makeup. I thought you were morbid. Yeah, she's the same person. So let me give you one secret. Before you marry, go there when there's no makeup. See the real person. Make sure no kakamotobi. All right, let's close. You guys are loving. You're supposed to be holy in church. Why are you laughing like that? Let's close. I finished. I'm not preaching anymore. So disappointed because things that you were expecting, you wanted a Cinderella marriage. And then when you come from work, food will be ready. And he calls you, my Lord. And then every time you say, you want, hey, then he say, good morning. It's not happening. You are living with a real human being. They have their blue days, yellow days, brown days. Everybody is different. Now two human beings are sharing one common space. Reality hits. That is why most marriages break down within the first 2 years. Because that's the adjustment period. That's when the real person comes out. And if you don't take care, you get so disappointed. And he's like, I quit. And if you don't have a good mother, when you go there, hey, bring your bag. Your room is there. Go. Bring your bag. These men, they are all the same. They're all of them. Look. Meanwhile, she has left her husband, wants you to join because misery loves company. Even the time you found that man you were going, she wasn't too happy. Now that you are back, praise God. Come, join us. Oh God, don't stay disappointed. It is normal to be disappointed. It's a normal part of life. From all the various avenues I'm showing you, you will see that it occurs everywhere. To the pastor, to the banker, to the manager, to the married man, to the student. Everywhere. 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 It even happened to you when you came to Canada, didn't you? Your first winter. Okay, I rest my case. Your first winter. Wait, it's so cold. It's so you were busy praying for the visa to come here. Didn't you know it was cold? Didn't you check it before coming? You knew it was cold. So keep quiet and enjoy it. I don't know if you've met people who actually hate being in Canada. Every time I see them, I say, get out of here. Just go. Because the way you hate this place so much, the land will not yield its fruit unto you. God will not bless you in the land you hate. Oh God, change your thinking. Me, I love Canada. God brought me here. I will enjoy every good of this land. And when I'm old enough to go sit by my backyard in Ghana, I'll buy a chartered plane. You see, my own plane. I'll fly.
come here and preach Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, I fly back to Ghana. Sit by the lake. Then Friday, I fly back. Preach to you. So I'll be living here and there. You can't say amen. Okay, all right. Oh, I look too odd. Eh? Okay, if Ghana is too far, I'll do it in Florida. Okay, Florida is short, so I'll go back and forth. Enjoy where you are. But I'm trying to tell you, disappointment has wrecked so many lives. Don't play with disappointment. Next week, I'm going to show you how to overcome disappointment. You must know how to deal with it. Because if you don't handle it well, it will fester into discouragement. And discouragement is deadly. It's big. Disappointment is easier to handle disappointment than discouragement. I'm telling you. You were expecting a promotion you didn't get. Okay. So you are disappointed. A day or two is fine. But don't hold on to it for months and years. No, it's okay. Bounce on and move on. Something else will come. Just keep living. Opportunities keep coming. Glory to God. Opportunities keep coming. So live, like keep going. I thought I'd be able to teach you how to overcome discouragement, disappointment today, but I'm sorry, I didn't even get close. So next week we'll deal with how to overcome disappointment. One thing is for sure, you will not be discouraged in Jesus' name. You will not be discouraged. You will not fail. You will not be discouraged. Now, I'm sure your eyes have been opened to seeing the trend. Have you seen the trend? How disappointment starts and it increases into discouragement. And how discouragement, if not handled properly, will lead you to death. Anything discouragement touches, it kills. Including Prophet Elijah. Many of you think that, oh, God just took him home. You know why God took him home? He was discouraged. He said, I want to die. God said, I can't handle a discouraged prophet. Too many people will be affected. I'll give you a quick pass. I'll show you. Israel did not get to the promised land, not because of the devil, but because the 10 spies brought a word that discouraged the people and God killed them. When they got discouraged, they began to call the bread worthless bread. Discouragement kept Israel from getting to the promise. It's a dangerous thing. Jesus asked me to tell his church, stay away from discouragement. It is dangerous. Let me also tell you, discouragement is infectious. Meet a discouraged person, you keep talking and talking and talking, you become discouraged. It's infectious. It's like tuberculosis. Kohum, 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 kohum. Hang around them. You two will be very soon. Kohum, 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 TB. It's infectious. Glory to God. Say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be discouraged. And even if I'm disappointed, today I'm learning how it operates. And I'm rising above it. In Jesus' name, shall we please stand on our feet this morning? Hallelujah. Now, I know I didn't have time to get into it, but one of the things you do when you get disappointed is treat it as normal. It's normal to be disappointed. It's normal. Normal. Normal to be disappointed. This morning, I want you to tell God, as he equips you for success in life, equips you to fulfill destiny, may he help you to overcome every disappointment in your life. Talk to him. Say, Father, help me overcome every disappointment in my life. I'll give you a couple of minutes to pray. Please talk to God. Baratere mosea. Ramamonte reba kabra kapaturi ba sabra kapatoa. Ramamonte keberi ba sobre kapatuli mamanta labahoa rababaya. Rimamonte reba suri ba helebo kabra kababanta labazubrandeka.